Excellent. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am the icon. I am the leader of the F4L, and I am more importantly the host here on the F4L headquarters. I am the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens, and you are listening to the very first inaugural show of the fitness center, of the all new F4L headquarters, ladies and gentlemen. So welcome to you all. My name is, as I just already introduced myself. So we have a new home here, that we call. And my name, I already introduced myself. So I'm repeating myself. I apologize. This is the first kickoff. So I guess I'm just trying things out. So anywho, so all the guys who lived under a rock, my name is the icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. And for the last 20 plus years, I've been in the pro wrestling business. I've also made my way into entertainment, into the filmmaking business. I've also worked in various charitable ideas and places. I've also been kind of a role model and an anti-bullying advocate. I've been a dream master and a dream maker. I've also been someone who's fought for the equalness of people who are, you know, who may suffer from various mental illness and whatnot. And I'm the staple person for someone who has never let any obstacle stand in his way. And despite whatever comes in my life, I've done a pretty decent job fighting it all off and becoming better than expected. It's been an up and down battle. This is a new home for us. We've had a podcast for not even a year now, but it was just before the summer. And I really started this podcast as a way to, you know, cheer people up and talk about positive things in life where everything is so negative these days, which is really, really sad. In a world where everyone, is so focused on, you know, the various illnesses going on in the world right now. And everyone really wants to focus on all that stuff. Me, myself, on the other hand, I like to be someone who, likes to stand up against a lot of that and likes to, you know, kind of be the ringleader and say there's some good things going on in the world and that, you know, life goes on. And we as humans have battled through all kinds of adversities over the life. And a lot of things you do know and a lot of things you don't know. And, you know, I'm here to share some of my experiences, whether it be in filmmaking and wrestling, in life in general. A lot of things I've had to overcome to get here. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, as a lot of people might want to believe. I am definitely an individual that believes in, you know, standing up for, for showing people that life's not as bad as you think it is. And we've defeated a lot of things in our life that, you know, we've had to overcome. This is an impromptu episode, so I was not prepared, but, coming from the pro wrestling business, sometimes, you know, you're given a live microphone and told to go out to an audience without any preparation. There's been several times where I was host on my in-ring talk show segment called the Fitness Center, where I didn't even know who the guest was, or I'd have very little time to prepare for the guest that I would have on the show. And when having that guest on the show, I would, you know, have to go off the cuff. And one of the things that I was really good with in pro wrestling was my speaking ability and was my talking skills. They call them promos in wrestling world. So, excuse me. That's kind of what I did for the last too long. and, you know, when I'm given a live microphone, told to go out Excuse me, folks, as I grab my tea. Yeah, folks, it's tea, ladies and gentlemen. Irish tea at that. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. So those of you guys who are new to my listening devices, I'm not usually this disoriented when I'm trying to kick off a show. So I wanted to really do this first thing to kind of give you an outline of what you're going to look at, what's different about the headquarters versus the other podcast. And for the most part, it's not much of a difference. I'm still going to share with you guys some things that I think a lot of you guys might enjoy. I think, virtually by sharing some life experiences and maybe bringing in a guest here and there on to discuss various different things and maybe see about making the world a better place and spreading the F4L lifestyle and the F4L message alive. So first, in this inaugural show, I think it's important to discuss the F4L so we know what the F4L headquarters is. What is the F4L headquarters? What is the F4L? So I'm not going to bore you guys on the first episode with waybacks of, how the F4L really started. But the long and short of it is like this. I was in a predicament in a family. I was born into a blood family. I'm talking about the people who, I was born into, where nobody had any of the morals that I believe to be a family. No one loved it. There wasn't a lot of love, caring, compassion, understanding, or any respect for anybody. There's a lot of judging and backstabbing and a lot of things in my blood family. And these are things I always disagreed with. And I never felt, this is how a family should be. So when I looked around, we were always told that old saying, you could pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. And what I did is I said, you're not going to tell me what I can and can't do. I didn't like the family I was born into because it wasn't really much of a family. So me and some very close friends of mine who were in similar situations where we came from families who really didn't understand us or anything like that, or came from, a lot of hatred and sadness and sorrow. There was really four or five of us originally who came up with the model of what the F4L is. And long and short of it, in your F4L, and you take the pledge to be F4L, you stand for, to be F4L, you're someone who has the following in your life. This is how you approach life, with love, caring, compassion, understanding. And respect for everyone's differences and uniqueness. And this is, for the longest time, what has been our model. And this has really worked. Of course, in the early days, a lot of people who didn't understand what the F4L was, who made fun of the F4L, who, made it, to be some ridiculous thing that it wasn't, they really had a way of not allowing, not really understanding what the F4L was about, and they were quick to judge us. In the end of it, we became more powerful and we became closer friends and brothers. Because ultimately what it really is to be F4L is you're replacing those blood negative people in your family and you're replacing them with people who are actually more family-like, your brothers and your sisters of the F4L. And that's ultimately how that works. So when you view someone in the F4L and you become F4L, you actually are part of the F4L family. And over the years, thanks to social media and other things, I've been able to reach global audience and tell them about the message of what it's to be F4L and how to live the F4L model and how to live the F4L way and how it's okay to tell someone you love them. It's not an awkward thing. You should never be ashamed to share your feelings for someone. If you have a friend, male or female, despite what your sex or race is, you should have no problem, telling them you love them or you care about them. And, to be F4L, you really, you view them as family. So if you have an issue, you go to your family. So you call your brothers or you call one of your closest F4Ls and you talk to them about whatever issues it is. Of course, you know, like I said, we're replacing our blood family with, you know, these new, you know, people. To the outside, to the people who are the part of the blood, they see them as a threat. But the people in the F4L were seen as, you know, people who just want to have a loving family. And I think that's something that everyone deserves to have. And I don't think that's disrespectful. And I don't think it's something that, you know, shouldn't be discontinued. I think everyone has a right to be accepted and to be welcome into a family that has love, care, and compassion. Understand, we're not going to be judged despite what it is, you know. We don't see colors and races because it doesn't matter what color, creed, if you're gay, you're straight, you're in the middle, it doesn't matter because people are amazing. And we have found in the F4L, when you open your heart and give people a little bit of, you know, your time and you give people your understanding and you give them, you know, you listen, you talk to them, you get to know them, you don't judge. And when you do that, you feel so much better about yourself. And also, for those people who believe in karma, it's a really, you know, wake-up call for a lot of us to who, you know, you want to be, you know, and who you want to include. And ultimately, you know, first you have to establish, of course, who your real friends are versus your you know, the people who pretend to be your friends. Because, of course, you have that in life, too, those who try to infiltrate the family, right? You got the ones who pretend to be your friends because they have something you want or you make them feel better about themselves for some other reason. Now, me admittedly, I have, you know, been taken advantage of because of my belief in the F4L, because I believe in giving people a chance. I don't believe in hearing what people say about someone else. I have to experience it for myself. I have had the opportunity in my lifetime to meet some of my heroes in both in the filmmaking business and the wrestling business. And if I had listened to people's opinions on certain people, whether it be in Hollywood or film or movies or in wrestling, I wouldn't have met those people because I would listen to what everyone else said about this being some being mean or this person being rude. And, you know, being someone from the wrestling business, and at one point I portrayed a heel. I was a bad guy and I was supposed to be hated by the audience, but outside the ring, I was the opposite. I was me. I was the F4L leader. And, you know, but when you're portraying a character who's hated and heelish, you know, it's a different story. But a lot of people, you know, don't know what's going on. You know, some people can't, you know, decipher between what's real and what's not. That's an unfortunate thing of the business. The people who really believe, you know, that this person is really a mean person. But I can tell you that if you're properly trained and you really have respect for the business, then the first people you have respect for is your fans. But the problem is, a lot of the times, for example, when a wrestler or a superstar or a movie star are going to a plane, for example, and they're in a hurry, people will stop and ask them for pictures and autographs. And if the person doesn't stop them and oblige them for the picture and the autograph, they automatically, you know, the fan says the wrestler or the movie actor or whoever it is a jerk or is mean or whatever. But in reality, and actually, a good friend of mine told this story, one of my mentors in wrestling, Bruce Pritchard. He told a story about how his wife was ill and he had to go to the hospital to visit her and he had to get on the plane to go to visit her. And a fan wanted to stop and take a picture with him and then get an autograph. And he had to get to the hospital to visit his wife in the hospital. And the fan, of course, you know, he couldn't stop to talk to the fan because he had to catch his flight to get to his wife as soon as possible. I can tell you right now that when it comes to my wife and my kids, there's nothing that I wouldn't do for them before anything else. So I always put them before everything. Any decisions I make in life has to be geared towards them. How is it going to affect my wife and my kids? Because this is another one of those dreams I wanted, is to have my own family. My own family, in addition to the F4L and raise my kids the F4L way, which I have, and successfully. But in general, you know, a lot of people would go on the idea or the notion that that person was mean. Bruce Pritchard should have stopped to talk to him. But in essence, he had to get to his sixth wife, and people didn't know that part of the story. But, you know, they're quick to say he's mean, he doesn't like fans, but that's not the case. And I can tell you that I've known Bruce, I've met Bruce, and he's a very nice guy. Another quick story about someone who, if I listened to people, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to talk and meet one of the greatest actors of the 80s that never gets enough credit, and that's John Hurd. The late, great John Hurd, who you might know him from Home Alone or Beaches, Big. You know, he's been in a great deal of films, John Hurd, mostly in the 80s. A lot of people know him from a lot of those, you know, pop-cultured movies. I mean, I don't know many people who don't know any of the movies I just mentioned. But John Hurd was at a signing, which I like to go to a lot of these signings myself to both, you know, to meet my fans and also to network with fellow, you know, entertainers and whoever. It's always good to network and whatnot because, you know, it's always a good idea. And I was going to meet John Hurd, and I had a friend of mine who I, you know, she usually will tell me, you know, this person's mean or that person's mean. And, you know, I was like, and she was telling me that John Hurd was really rude and really kind of arrogant and stuff. And I thought, oh, that's too bad. But I went to meet him the next day anyway, because I had, that was when I was going to meet him. But I also, you know, in essence to my, you know, film and my wrestling background, I do have a degree in film, and I also have a degree in human services. And of course I have my training in both combat sports as well as, you know, certification in wrestling and so forth. But the thing about it is, you know, sometimes you have to look at the whole picture to be able to really see what the real issue is. So in John Hurd's case, now I want you to try to put yourself in this scenario. Now, it's hard probably to understand this because a lot of people have had the opportunity to be in such great films as the ones I mentioned, Beaches, Home Alone, you know, Big. I mean, you go from working with Tom Hanks, Macaulay Culkin, Bette Midler, Gina Davis, and the list goes on. And then here you are many years later to meet your fans. And you're in a room, and this is the scenario. And across from the room, you see a new star coming into play. Across from him was The Walking Dead's Chandler Riggs, who, by the way, is a really cool guy and another good friend of mine. But Carl, who I was going to say, Chandler, who I was going to go say hello to anyway, had a line going out the door, up from his table, through the lobby, through the rest of the hall, of course, through the lobby, like I said, up the hall, down the stairs, outside, and lined up all the way down the pool on the opposite side of the building, where John Hurd really was no line, no waiting. And a lot of people were like, well, what does that mean? How can that possibly mean anything? And for me, I was like, well, if I was John Hurd, who's been around Hollywood and some of the biggest roles ever, or part of some of the biggest films of all time, and I was an icon like him, I'd probably feel a little bit maybe disrespected by some of the fans who, you know, are so willing to meet this newcomer who hasn't been in acting anywhere close to how long he has, and no one's even going up to talk to him. John Hurd, I mean, but they're all lining up around the poolside to meet this other young man. Now, Chandler's a sweet kid, and he's a really good friend of mine, like I said, really nice kid. But, you know, me being from the filmmaking business and the respect I had for John Hurd and what he's already done, I went up and I started talking to John Hurd since no one else was going to. And I had the exact opposite experience with John Hurd than my friend did. I thought he was very respectful. I asked him filmmaking questions, and I introduced myself respectfully. And some point later, we'll have an episode on, you know, meeting people and proper etiquette. Because me and my wife have rules about when my kids, you know, meet famous people or, you know, wrestlers or whatever. And it's just certain protocols, certain respectful guidelines you have to have. And we like to teach our kids those things. And you have to lead by example. So, you know, I'm talking to John Hurd and, you know, took a picture with him, got an autograph, all that cool stuff, gave him mine. You know, it was a really cool guy. I really had no problems with John Hurd at all. And the fact that I can actually say that I got to meet John Hurd and talk to John Hurd, got some feedback from John Hurd. And, you know, that to me was very special. And if I had listened to my friends about, you know, what their opinion was, I would never have had that opportunity. Right? So that's the moral of that story. So to be F4L, you have to be kind of open to try and give people a chance. But you also can't be so naive. You need to know when the red flags are, what's a real friend versus a real a fake friend. And the long and short of it, I usually like to say, I tell my kids the same thing I said years ago. Real friends don't kick when you're down, they help you up. And what does that mean? That means if you're having an issue in life, and if you don't, in whatever, these so your real friends are the ones who will stand right by you no matter what, in the thick of things. Because I can tell you that my F4L brothers, in the past and present, they will be right there for me in the beckon, at the beck and call. I had a friend of mine, my closest brother in the F4L, one of the founders, and unfortunately he's no longer with us, but we had such a great bond that, you know, he would call me at the drop of the hat and I would be there, or he would, if, or vice versa. And, you know, we had this relationship where he was more adventurous and stuff like that, but because we were together, it didn't matter because we were spending time and we were hanging out, and it's all about trying new things and saying, trying something before you say you don't like it. And that's kind of what that's about. You know what I mean? So is that. Now, when does it happen that you don't have, you know, you don't have adventures? And with my friend there, we did all kinds of things you never would believe we'd do. One of his biggest missions in life, he wanted to get his scuba license when he was 16. So he got his scuba license. And of course, because he got a scuba license, I had to get it too, because it's just what we did. So we went shark diving several times. And this is another one of those things where if I listened to what everyone said on TV and in the movies about sharks being these dangerous, bloodthirsty creatures, do you really think I'd jump in the water with all of these fish? And I mean, I'll go into detail later at some point to discuss my views on how, you know, judging and being like paranoid about things like that can really be detrimental to not only just life in general, but like it can really affect the lives of everything, living and not, animals and people. People don't like sharks because they're supposed to be these dangerous, bloodthirsty creatures. But when I swam with them four separate times I swam with sharks, I never had any issues with a shark attacking me or biting me, because I went into the ocean respecting the sharks. Because guess what? The ocean is theirs first. We are visitors in the water. If the shark was to come on land and walk around and start biting people, that would be a different story. But these are people going into the water where the sharks live, uninvited. And sometimes they do things that annoy them, or sometimes they don't. Sharks are fish. You know, they're not genius animals because they're fish. They're no smarter than a halibut or a salmon. But, you know, people think that they are these dangerous, bloodthirsty things. They don't even know what a bloodthirsty animal is, a shark. They just know they swim, they eat, they poop, they make babies. That's what a shark knows. And repeat. You know, so a lot of these people don't give the respect to those sharks and go into the ocean and so forth. But me and Adam, who was my friend, we did that because out of respect for him, who wanted to get the scuba license, I went shark diving with him four times. We never had any issues. Another time we were driving around, and sometimes when you know you have the right friends is when you do things and you feel comfortable doing them, and you know your boys will be right there with you. We were driving one time and we saw that they were doing bungee jumping, and we saw a sign, they're doing bungee jumping. He goes, you want to go bungee jumping? I said, what, now? It was just a random Saturday. We had nothing better to do. I said, okay, why not? We're both working and whatever, we'll do it. So we went and skydive. We went bungee jumping. Haven't done the skydiving thing yet. But no, I did that a couple times. The bungee jumping thing was all randomized. Same thing with the shark diving. We did that and all the other things that we did along the way. And that's kind of what a real friend stuff you do, you know. But on the plus side of just having the fun, there's been several times that over the years during the time he was alive that he would call me if he had an issue and vice versa. I remember I was in a really toxic relationship one time. He called me up and said, hey, Sean, what are you doing? What are you doing, Jazz? You can't be talking like this. And, you know, I was in a toxic relationship, ready to marry this Yahoo, in my opinion. And he's like, you can't do that. That's not helpful to you. And he also was helpful for me to learn that other people who I thought were my friends were not. And the fact of the matter was, is before I listened to people who I don't know, I would listen to him first because he's my brother. Get the F-world thing now? So, and the vice versa. He would ask me for advice at any time. And sometimes it got really interesting. We used to say that he was my long-lost soul brother. And that's ultimately what this F4L model is about, is having these long-lost relatives from all over the place. And when you talk to these people about what the F4L is, how to be, that's ultimately how you get to be where you are. And that's ultimately how you get your message, and that's how we become the largest family recognized in the world. And we're all cool people, and we're all respectful. We all have the model of the F4L to be loving, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. If the rest of the world was F4L, we wouldn't have any issues. Really, there wouldn't be. A long time ago, my son was homesick one day, and I, you know, wanted to cheer my son up. So I'm trying to give you a layout of kind of what to expect on this show. And I just talked to you about what the F4L is. Hopefully you guys understand what that is. And I always said that growing up, once I became F4L, that when I got to a certain point in my life, I would have a home and move all of my friends together, all my brothers in one place, so we'd have the F4L headquarters. And unfortunately, that never came to be. You know, people in life move on, but guess what? Just because someone moves far away, the thing about being F4L is they're never far apart. You can always feel them in your heart, your mind, your soul, and you can always pick them up. You can always pick up a phone, email, whatever, and they'll always be there for you. And that's kind of what being F4L is. That's your family, man. But one day I was home. My son was sick from school. And to cheer him up, I created using a wrestling game. Now, I've been in the wrestling business for, you know, 22 years as of right now. This is going back maybe, you know, when my son was 11. He's 18 now. So my son was sick. And what do we do as parents when our kids are sick? We want to make them feel better as best as possible. So what we did is I built Homer Simpson using the wrestling game. And then I built Peter Griffin. And we thought, oh, that's funny. What would happen if we fought with them in the wrestling game? But who would play who? We didn't want to pick who would want to be who. So we found a way to the game to pick the winner for us. And ultimately, this led into a movement that has taken over YouTube. Well, not taken over YouTube. Not everybody does it. But there's only one originals or two originals in this case. Is that's my son and I. And from that point forth, that's how Dream Matches started. Or Jazz and Sons Dream Matches is what it was used to be called. As we took all those fights that everyone always wanted to see, you know, who would win between, well, in that case, it was Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson, because at that point, that episode hadn't happened yet. Or, you know, that whole Freddy versus Jason thing, that hasn't happened yet, and so forth and so on. So that's ultimately how Dream Matches started, was that right there. And you could find that on wowdreammatches.com at Yahoo, where now I have the icons of the F4L in Warriors of Wrestling, which is women of war. You know, always women just as tough as the guys. Excuse me. So we'll get into that going forward as well. And, you know, we'll talk about the parenting stuff. We'll do some movie reviews. We'll do some, you know, all that kind of stuff. And these are things that I have been doing on the podcast for a while now. We'll have a guest here and there come in, talk about whatever, maybe one of my movie filmmakers and one of my fellow people in entertainment or my fellow wrestlers or whoever. I've made a lot of good F4L over the years, and this is the F4L headquarters, so it's always open to the F4L. And if you'd like to be a guest on the F4L, the guest call-in number is 516-453-9380. Again, the guest call-in number is 516-453-9380. One more time, the guest call-in number for this show, 516-453-9380. Love to have you come on the show sometime if you're an F4L, want to learn more, chat it up, feel better, get inspired. And I hope to really start bringing the F4L model out there further out in the world and also maybe help people out along the way. I have been gifted the ability to withstand a lot in my lifetime and overcome a lot. And if I can share some of those experiences with you and how I've overcome them and give you some of the tools that you too can overcome them and achieve all your goals and dreams. So that is kind of what we do. And, you know, you can't do that without goals and dreams and all that fun stuff. I worked in filmmaking. I worked in retail. I worked in, you know, restaurants. I worked in movie theaters. I worked in wrestling shows. I worked in entertainment venues. I worked on stage. I've been on America's Got Talent. I've been in martial art tournaments before they were even a thing. So I have experience. I have PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder. I've never been to war because, you know, by the time I was diagnosed, I was 11 when I was diagnosed finally with post-traumatic stress disorder. And as you know, you can't really fight wars by then. And when I've told people, when they ask me, you know, when you have PTSD, what do you have, you know, how can you have that? You have been to war. But what happens is when I explain to them what I had to overcome at home, what I witnessed already before I was 11, they want to give me their purple heart and say, I deserve that. I won't take it because that's not right. They went to war. That's how they earned theirs. I went through war because I survived growing up. My war was at home, overcoming adversity and the horrors at home and the horrendous, tremendous childhood. So, but I don't make excuses. I don't live in the past. I live forward and I keep going because that is the way I should be. And that's the way it should. That's the way it has to be. So, you know, you can't get forward in life if you're always going looking in the back. I look forward, I put my head down and I put my head up and keep moving forward because I've already been hit with everything. I've overcome cancer 3 times in my life. 3 times I've beaten cancer. And every single time I've either come back to wrestling, I've come back to have success. I've got married. I have 2 awesome kids. I have an amazing wife and I have an amazing life. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. We all have our ups and downs, but I live the F4L way. You too, you also can. And that's kind of what we're going to do here. And we're going to take this one day at a time, take this podcast to new heights, have guests, maybe get more views and get all out there. And we're really going to, you know, strike forward. And I'm going to be a little bit more active here on the podcast and do more for, you know, as a voice of the voiceless. That was one of my early gimmicks back in the day. It's a wrestling term. So, you know, you guys are going to have a lot of fun here. I hope you'll be always welcome into the F4L headquarters. And, you know, you're always, you know, able to. So you can always find me if you have any ideas. You want to reach out to me. You can find me at WOW, W-O-W, Dream Matches, DREAMATCHES. @gmail.com, or you could find me on Instagram at F4L, Sean Jazz. I think there's some weird thing, or Sean Jazz Stevens. I don't really use the Sean Jazz Stevens on Instagram much anymore. I'm not on Facebook, so don't look for me there. I am on Twitter under Sean Jazz Stevens. And on YouTube, of course, as I mentioned, I am at Wild Dream Matches at Yahoo. I'm sorry, YouTube. And also Jazz VTV 69 on YouTube. You can find me on that. That's one of my old school channels when I was back in the when I was just a YouTube sensation then. Now I'm an icon. Lucky me. And of course, you can find my older podcast and catch up with everything I've done there and on there on Spotify under the F4L Radio with Sean Jazz Stevens, Dream Matches Radio. That's me as well on Spotify and wherever you can listen to your podcasts. And of course, now we have a new home here. And I hope wherever you guys are, you guys enjoy this and take some notes and learn some stuff and have some fun. Life is so serious, but also you only have one life, so you have to live it. And you can't make excuses. You don't want to die tomorrow wishing you had done something that you wanted to do. Something I have always, taken pride in is the people who know I love them know that I love them because I have no problem telling them so. And the people who I care about know that I care about them because I tell them all the time. I'm not afraid to hug or kiss my kids. Despite my daughter is 19 and my son's is 18, I still give them hugs and kisses. And I have no issues with that as they are my kids. I give my wife hugs and kisses. Well, then the thing, and a little bit more, but you know what I mean there. But in general, it's never a problem to share your affection for people as long as you love them and they love you. And it's a, it's a mutual thing. All right. And to my F4L out there around the world, I love them all. As if they are my brothers, my sisters, no matter how old, how small, what size, what continent, what they do, whether into wrestling or they're not into wrestling, whether in Hollywood or not, whether they're doing a sport or they're modeling or dancing. It's all cool because we're all accepted, man. We're all in the F4L. And whether in this podcast, anyway, you'll never hear anything normal because I don't even know what normal is. As someone who has studied human services, I can tell you that there is no such thing as normal. There's an old saying that you could take anyone walking down the street and you can literally diagnose them with any mental illness. All you need is 2 minutes and you can diagnose them with a mental illness. And that is reality. There's no one normal. There's always something for someone either, and it's cool if you are, it's cool if you have whatever, if you're depressed, if you have stress, anxiety, PTSD like me, bipolar, if you're schizophrenic, it doesn't matter. Some are more serious than others, but you're always going to have a home here in the F4L headquarters where you can, put a listen in. Most of it won't be so hard hitting, but we're going to get the facts out there. We're going to help some people and make everyone's dreams come true as I am the dream master himself. All about the fun, the pro wrestling, the YouTube, the pop culture, the F4L lifestyle, mental health, inspirational lifestyle goals. You name it, we got it. I'll give you some movie reviews because I'm blunt and obvious, honest. If you ask me a question, I'll give you the honest answer, so be sure you want the answer. So as we're getting ready to wrap things up here on my very first intro episode, I want to wish everyone a happy belated holiday. We still got New Year's coming. And don't make excuses about what happened this year. This year is over. Get ready for the next year and make it a better one. Make all your dreams come true. Don't take no prisoners and don't give up. That's the main thing. Keep going. If you want to get something done in life, you got to put the work in to get it. And you are the only one that's got to do it. Even if everyone around you doubts you, put all your energy into proving them all wrong, as I have. Because you can do it, as I have. So, to all of you guys around the world, to the F4L and the new F4L, I am the living legend. I am the one who is 6 feet tall, 245 pounds, the man, myth, legend, icon, leader of the F4L, And the one with the bulging biceps, the perfect pecs, the washboard abs, bow and worship. But no, I am Sean Jazz Stevens, and you have found a home here in the F4L headquarters. May all your dreams come true. Our home. So, if you guys, again, want to ever call again, guest call-ins, 516-453-9380. Again, 516-453-9380. Or you can call me directly at 617-653-7173, W-O-W Dream Matches, D-R-E-A-M. That's W-O-W D-R-E-A-M M-A-T-C-H-E-S at gmail.com. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we will have our first guest. I already know who it is. You don't know yet, but you will. So stick around, because life is coming, whether you like it or not, and we're going to have a fun time. And you're now a bunch of F4L now. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. I am, again, your host with the most, this Sean Jazz Stevens. And guys, have a great holiday. Have a great New Year's. Be safe. Be responsible. You know, if you're a parent, give your kids a hug, a kiss, good night. If you're married, give your wife or spouse a hug or a kiss, wife, husband, whatever the case may be. And remember, everyone, it's okay to be you. You're always welcome in the F4L, because I was born it, I breathe it, I live it, I'll die it. I'm damn proud to be it. F4L. May all your dreams come true, everyone. Peace.